Hey, Trevor, we're running into the same issue that we were doing when we did the Drake and Josh Go Hollywood episode. You can't get the recording to work right now, can you?
No, I can't. I don't know what's going on here today.
All right, I've got some tech support experience. I've got a suggestion. You ready for this?
Yes.
Try pressing Control G. Cameron's losing it there.
I knew what you were going to say before you said
Trevor, big Zoe 101 fan over here. That's from the season 4, episode 1, where Zoe and Chase do a Zoom date and
Oh,
they can't
yes.
get the connection. And there's a poor man working customer
He's
support.
clearly an Indian. It's clearly a stereotype. And
Oh,
it
that was
does not
bad.
really fly today, to be
No,
honest.
no. I don't know if it's super well, yeah, it definitely doesn't fly.
No, but you know what does fly is this movie, in my opinion. And hello,
Yes.
everybody. Welcome to your bonus episode for the month of July here on the Old Kids Movies on our Patreon. If you're listening to this on the main feed, this full episode is already live on our Patreon. So just head on over to Patreon. You can listen to the full entire discussion on Zoe 102. I am AJ Beltis. I am here, as always, with Trevor Howell, the Chase Matthews to my Michael Barrett, perhaps?
You are not Michael Barrett.
I
You wish you were Michael Barrett.
I wish I was Michael, because you know what is true is you end up making up a lot of words just like Michael, like drippin' and flump and things like that.
I said this when we watched that episode together, the Drippin' and Flump. I think we watched that one together, but I said the face that he has when he says flump at the end, he's so defeated, but then he's like, you know what? I have a new word, flump, and this is gonna be the word. And he's so excited. And that's me. That's my
Yes.
excitement.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And, I feel like if we're taking anything from Zoe 101, it's that when you think about Michael and Chase, there's a Logan. And I don't really know if this guest is the Logan. Maybe I guess I would probably be Logan to Trevor's Michael to the Chase that is our guest here, one of the biggest Zoe 101 fans that I know, Cameron Barrett. Cameron, welcome once again onto the podcast.
You stole my joke. I was going to say, I guess that makes me the Logan Priest. Here I am once again. No P.
Is
And
there a P?
I'm very excited to be talking Zoe 102 with my good friends, AJ and Trevor. Thank you again for having me.
So those of you who have listened to our Patreon and draft episodes already know Cameron has a podcast about Survivor. But Cameron, for everybody new who's listening, why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about Twists and Torches?
Yeah, definitely. So I got a podcast. It's called Twists and Torches. It's about Survivor mostly. I've been on a bit of a hiatus because of my schedule, but coming soon, hopefully, is a grand relaunch for season 45 and beyond. So I'm very excited now that my schedule's cleared up a little to get back into the podcasting world solo.
I've been on a few times. It's a great time. And if you want to hear me talk not just about 90s and 2000s kids movies and their rebooted movies, but if you also want to hear me talk about Survivor, head on over to Twists and Torches. It is a great time. I don't think I've ever been angrier than when I heard your season ranking podcast and I was on a road trip with one of my friends from high school. You know who he is, Cam. And I was just like yelling at the friggin' dashboard, like, how could you have South Pacific so high? But all of that
Oh,
said, Twists and Torches is a great podcast on Survivor. So go ahead and check out that show and check out to see what Cameron has to offer. We are doing what for me is one of the most long-awaited projects, reboots that I have really, really been waiting for. And that is the Paramount Plus original movie, Zoe 102, follow-up film to Zoe 101, exclusive to streaming. So just a quick reminder for those of you who need a refresh on this show, Zoe 101, starring Britney Spears' sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, ran from 2005 until May of 2008, part of Schneider's Bakery, directed by Dan Schneider and created by Dan Schneider. It received a Primetime Emmy nomination for Outstanding Children's Program. And the series finale, Chasing Zoe, became the highest rated live action show ever on Nickelodeon at the time. It achieved 7.3 million viewers, and additionally, it beat out American Idol as the highest rated show in the teens demographic for 12 to 17. So, needless to say, critically, commercially, in terms of culture, Zoey 101 was a really, really, really big show. And I figured before we jump into Zoey 102, it would kind of make sense to go around and ask everybody what their experience is with Zoey 101. So, Trevor, what's your experience with Zoey 101?
I think, like everyone, I watched a lot of the live-action Nick shows around this time. And I think I fell off towards the end of it. But the beginning of it was essentially the perfect time for us to kind of watch it. And we talked about Drake and Josh before, and we talked about Ned's Declassified before as two shows that I super loved watching. This was another one that took me a little bit more convincing to watch as like a, you know, fourth or fifth grader, maybe third grade when this even came out. But it didn't take long for me to get hooked on it, watching it. And I thought that all the characters were really fun. You know, as a guy, you kind of like the guy characters, and it's also fun to see a female focused show, and the interactions that they have, because that's different. That's not something that I've experienced, you know. And I also, the biggest difference is that it's a boarding school, which I did not go to. I went to public school, and it was really cool seeing that. And obviously something you look forward to is like college and everything and staying in a dorm and all that kind of thing. And this was like almost an introduction to that. Like, whoa, that's so cool. You like get to sleep and hang out with your friends, and like you get to go to class with your friends, and then you just kind of hang around and do nothing. And
it's almost like this wasn't even a real school.
Oh, don't get me started on that. So yeah, just I watched all three seasons as they were coming in tons of reruns. And then when the fourth season came out, kind of fell off of it until the finale and caught up through various reruns. But I think I missed a couple of episodes in that last season, eventually saw them. But this was definitely up there for an endless watchable show.
For sure. You touched on a lot there that I agree with. And I think the big thing is that I think it started out as a show for girls. There was a subplot with the guys, but it was always kind of about how the guys were at odds with the girls. It was things like prank week. It was things about like, how did they figure out how to be on the roof together? And it was this big, the basketball team, the disc golf, all of it was like boys versus girls. And the girls, for the most part, would come out victorious. So no pun intended. And I think what brought me in, aside from just like having that overexposure, was I believe Jamie Lynn Spears was on All That before this, and that's why they gave her the spinoff show. So I really liked the new All That spinoff when I was 8, 9, 10, and I kind of got to know Jamie Lynn, and then that ushered her into Zoey 101. And so I watched for that. But then, Cameron, I know you'll talk about this too, is that starting in season two and very much in season three, this just became a teenage ensemble comedy where it wasn't so much about like, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. It was just kids hanging out in a boarding school, just finding themselves in wacky situations. And what I also always appreciated about this show was that there was a ton of comedy. It's such a funny show, but there's also a lot of good drama in it. There's also a lot of good heart. There's ongoing storylines about Chase and Zoey. There's situations where, you know, where people die, where people break up, where relationships don't work out. And I like how that is told through Zoey 101. I also really like that there's no laugh track in this. It makes it very unique compared to something like Drake and Josh, iCarly, All That, Keenan and Kel. This was, I think, the first sitcom, first Schneider show for sure to not have that laugh track. So that was something that I think really made me gravitate towards this show. And I was a fan while it was airing, but what I think really solidified this show is I love this show and I really rely on this show. And this is kind of a member berry, but when I had my job in summers of high school and college, I would always have to be at work by either 11 or 11:30. And Teen Nick aired two episodes of Zoey 101 during the summer at 10 and 10:30. And every single day I would watch at least one, if not two, of those episodes of Zoey 101. So when I think back of like the best summers of my life, where I was just like hanging out, seeing movies with friends and working at actually a job that I really quite liked, I always think of Zoey 101 kind of kicking off those summer days. So this really does have a huge place in my heart and in my life. And I'm glad that it evolved to be the show that the three of us kind of fell in love with over the years. Cameron, how about you? What's your experience with the show?
I think I had a little bit of a different experience. AJ and I used to talk a lot about Zoey 101 way back in the day. That was one of the things we used to repeat some jokes from one particular episode constantly. And
wait,
I
which
had
one?
A little bit of
is it the one I think?
Anger Management.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, yes, yes.
I had a little bit of a different experience because I didn't watch this live. I don't think I saw an episode of it until probably after the finale aired. I was about 9 when the show first started airing, and the show was marketed really poorly towards male children. It was like every like episode preview, like the preview they would do when it was, you know, I was watching something else on Nick, it would come up and it would be like, oh my God, like my roommate stole my key. Like we're having roommate conflict. I'm going to move out, like that kind of thing, which did not appeal at all to me. And then like later on, there was this real golden age of teen Nick when I was probably like 12 or 13, you know, there was not a lot on for me on other channels anymore, because you know I was a little old for that. But Teen Nick had like Degrassi, Zoe 101, Drake and Josh, iCarly, and Neds, and then later Big Time Rush, just like on repeat pretty much. And it was awesome. And then I just turn it off when H2O just add water comes on. And it was awesome. And Zoe 101 was one of my favorite shows from that block, despite like all of those being so great. And I just remember, I love the humor. Michael was so funny. I watched a lot of season 4, I think first, and then like later I enjoyed Chase afterward, but it took a while. And it was an absolute blast of a show back then. I still like watching it now. I mean, obviously I'm on a podcast talking about the follow-up movie, so I must like it, right? But yeah, great experience. Love the show.
Yeah. So a little bit about this movie is that I think all of us felt like it was a long time coming. In hindsight, I definitely had a lot of fear that we would never see a Zoe 101 reboot or movie or sequel or anything like that. But now that it's happened, like this was an inevitability. And let's look back at these touch points that the cast has had over the years. They've stayed in touch. They do their own reunions where they hang out. And it's very, very clear, both outside of this film and then in the film itself, that everyone is still really, really, except for, you know, we'll get some people who aren't. But for the most part, all of the cast is still really, really close. They've had those reunions. They share things on TikTok. They had a reunion on All That. And I think back in 2019, they filmed a YouTube video where they did a music video for the new version of Follow Me by Jamie Lynn Spears. They had the YouTube skit with Chase and Michael where they do the time capsule. So there was talk of a formal reunion dating back to the 2010s. Like they were clamoring for wanting to have this. And obviously, I think given the success of the iCarly reboot, which I actually don't like that much. I've given it a few tries and it hasn't really landed for me, even though I really love the original series. I think that this was an inevitability that it was going to happen. And it happened this year. They announced it this year, 15 years after the finale. And we got it. I mean, we were recording this the day after this movie came out. And it's crazy to think that 24 hours ago, I was watching these characters reunite in their context of their film for the first time in all this time. Trevor, you seemed like you didn't think it was an inevitability.
Well, I mean, it's just with all reunions, there's always a bit of hesitation for me. I'm like, why is this necessary, especially mm-hmm. when something ends so perfectly? Yes, you want to revisit them because there's only so many times you can rewatch a show. But sometimes the end of it or the last chapter of something really does mean that book is closed. And it doesn't need to be closed for those actors or the people that are representing those characters. But sometimes characters just exist inside a story and they should exist there and then in our imaginations. And a lot of these reunion movies or shows, you know, like the iCarly reboot and everything, they take these characters, which were really interesting as kids, but they're not as super three-dimensional for the adult world. And then they try and force that into them when they're, you know, 10, 15 years older and to mix results. So that's where I was going into this. I know AJ, you were a little bit higher on it than probably like a middle of the road would be. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go in this with a little bit more optimism, but that's where I stand on reboots of this nature, reunions rather. It's not a reboot. It's a reunion. This is a reunion movie.
It literally is a reunion movie.
About the inevitability thing, by the way, the folks at the Ned's Declassified podcast, the three main stars of that show, are furious.
Oh, I heard
this. And they didn't pick up because I guess they pitched high school right afterward. And later with Scott Fellows, Devin and Daniel both pitched like a college version or like an adult version, and they said no, but they picked Zoe 101. They're furious.
There's two things that I think might have hindered the inevitability of this relaunch. And I think one obviously is the Dan Schneider of it all. I'm not going to touch too much on that, but needless to say, he's not the most favorite person in Nickelodeon right now. And then the other thing that I think it, when we go into who's missing from this reboot, speaks to the timing was off a little bit here, is that Jamie Lynn Spears was kind of in the middle of a big controversy around the time when this movie came out. I'm personally not going to comment on like the feud of like the Britney stuff or anything like that, but she was not a really beloved figure. I don't know where she's at right now, but a lot of people, when Alexa Nicholas started speaking out and when Britney started speaking out, Jamie Lynn wasn't exactly revered anymore from what I was able to see. And I do think that would have potentially, like when it was getting to be a big thing, I started thinking, oh man, maybe this might not happen after all, but it did. And I was very surprised at the timing.
Yes. And so to touch on Jamie Lynn Spears, there's a lot of complicated feelings towards her, both with the original issue with, what's her name? What's her actual
Alexa
name?
Nicholas.
Alexa Nicholas. And then more recently Alexa Nicholas. And then more recently with Britney Spears, obviously. Mm-hmm. And both, she does not come out the good guy in those situations. But there's probably a little bit more at play than she's complicit in this. I don't want to make any kind of assumptions, but I'm guessing there is probably some the things that like Jeanette McCurdy wrote in her memoir, like that there's like some things that could have happened similar to Jamie Lynn Spears. And with Britney Spears, when they have a father like that, that is just abusive and terrible, I wonder what her life was like. You know, I don't know. We don't know these things. But clearly it's a complicated issue, but at least in the media, she doesn't come across as the good guy here.
That's kind of all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Any comments, Cam, or do you want to move on?
I mean, for me, like, I feel like they just got enough core cast members to do it. Like, I feel like if Aaron or Chris said no, that they straight up couldn't have done it, because it literally would have been basically just Zoe and Chase. So like, I was kind of surprised when I saw, like, there were a couple where I'm like, okay, it makes like no way Alexa Nicholas is ever doing this. Probably not Dana's actress. I don't remember her name, but like, I think they just got enough, like while still missing a few, that they could like actually do it. So like, right. It's really fortunate that like their schedules lined up. I know some of them don't really act anymore, but like their normal schedules, like I'm sure Matthew Underwood has a job doing something, right?
Right. Well, let's look at the people who are missing, because that leads into something I did want to talk about the core characters from at least some seasons on the show who aren't here. Paul Butcher, yes. At first, who played Dustin, at first, I was kind of surprised when he did say no. But like the day the movie was announced, he released a pretty scathing TikTok kind of dismissing the Zoe 101 movie, basically comparing Jamie Lynn Spears to Miranda Priestly from the Devil Wears Prada. But what's strange about it was he was in the 2019 All That reunion. So I don't know if he like learned some things later that the rest didn't learn or didn't care about. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he was in with this crew and was very close with everybody and kind of took a step back. I don't know what happened, but he was very openly dismissive about the concept of this movie when it was announced.
I think probably he might have learned some stuff, or maybe he just, I don't know. What is he up to now?
He's just making sexy TikToks.
Okay. The musician, sexy TikToker. Yeah.
He was on Christy Carlson Romano's podcast, which if you haven't heard, Vulnerable, they actually have a lot of good talks with, like, if you see a name on there that you're interested in, it's very good to hear about like what the sets were like and what the production was like. Okay, so next was Victoria Justice. She said, I would have loved to be there, but there was scheduling conflict. I was signed on to do a movie and the dates conflicted. It was a whole thing. I love that cast so much. And she has also
been... Yeah, she went to the premiere.
Yeah, so yeah. I fully believe that she wanted to do it, but probably just couldn't make it work. I know you're a big Victoria Justice guy, Cameron. You have claimed that you've met her. I still don't believe that story one bit.
Okay. That's fine. Put me on
blast. I don't know
on
this.
The
you haven't told this story. Please tell it now.
It's not that exciting. It was in a hotel in Miami. It was very brief. It's not. It was.
Did
not
she say thing. I'm Victoria Justice or like?
No,
what?
I know what she looks like. I knew who she was.
And she went to a different school, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We've got Ooh. Austin Butler, Elvis himself. He has no said surprise. That he was not asked.
He was on like 8 episodes. Who cares?
Yeah, but I mean, he launched his career and he got nominated for an Oscar.
Okay. Austin Butler's clearly doing better than everyone that showed up for this movie. Yeah.
He's in Dune Part 2, but let's be clear. If they wanted to get a lot of people signed on for like just download this movie or watch download Paramount Plus or watch this movie.
Wait, he wasn't even asked or he just
he
didn't
was
respond.
Not.
He
asked.
Said he wasn't asked.
He said he wasn't asked.
They probably reached out to his agent and his agent was like, what the fuck? Fuck no. Threw that shit in the trash.
Next up, Kristen Herrera, who of course played Dana, left the show after the first season. She said she was offered the role. She had just given birth to a baby a couple months before filming. She became a mom in November. They announced the movie in January and they wrapped filming by March. So she was like 2 to 3 months into being a mom. So completely understandable. She was also in the All That reunion. So I believe that everything is good with her. And then lastly, I don't know how much we want to get into this, but Alexa Nicholas, they, you know, real bummer how everything happened there. I think she's on par. I won't say better or worse. I think I'm not in a position to say that, but very much on par with the way that Jeanette McCurdy, if you've listened to her podcast on Vulnerable or listened to her stories about, her interviews, she's has some horror stories about Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. You know, Dan Schneider yelling at her saying, you know, the show is not called Nicole 101, it's called Zoe 101. And, you know, you just can't help feel bad for that's a situation of like a kid in Hollywood that clearly wasn't what it should have been, and you just can't help but feel bad because I liked Nicole's character, and I'm really sorry that it ended the way they did.
They basically wrote her off, and the joke that they used was so stupid and bad.
OMGD! I like OMGD. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the not even a mention of Dustin was a little because some of the other characters
they mentioned him. They mentioned. I missed it first. I went back and looked. Oh, they did mention Dustin. Okay. It's when she's getting the dress fitting at the beginning. He said, where's that little brother of yours? And she said, believe it or not, he's not little anymore. He's got two kids and twins on the way.
Yeah. Oh, I must have missed that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very brief.
Okay. Never mind.
But yeah, that's the thing is they basically made a point to mention all the missing people except for James. Because who the fuck
and
cares?
And Nicole. No Nicole. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't mention Nicole. They said Dana and Lola, right? They just said Dana
and Coco. And Coco. Yeah. But they did not mention Nicole.
Who the hell is Coco?
Who the hell is Coco?
Huh?
Trevor, get off this podcast. You were not
on, qualified. Coco. Wait, Coco. Wait. Was Coco
She likes
not...
ravioli.
Wait, no, wait did Coco they mention there. Coco in this?
They did.
What did they say?
They mentioned, oh, so you must be Lola. And it's like, no. Oh, you must be Dana. Oh, so wait, are you Coco? It's like, no, I'm Zoe. Because the whole thing, she never... All right, I think that's enough about the background, about the show and our experience. Does anybody have anything else they want to say before we jump into Zoe 102?
No, let's just talk about it.
This is going to be dripping.
Can't wait. Well, if you are listening on the main feed, we are going to cut it here. And if you want to hear our formal discussion about Zoe 102, our likes, our dislikes, and our top 5 Zoe 101 episodes each, which I cannot wait to hear unfolds, you can head on over to our Patreon, become an upper level patron, and you can get this episode and all of our other episodes, including a few Nickelodeon and Disney drafts, which Cameron has been on. He won 2/3. I won 1. And with all that said, we will see you next time on the Old Kids Movies next week with a brand new episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll